Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, so a crazy day. But we raised a ton of money.
Yes, we did.
And
had a great time with our listeners. Yeah. And thank you to all of them again for coming out, donating their money, spending the day with us. It was fantastic. Yep. Seven Bridges Golf Course.
Spectacular.
I'd forgotten how fantastic a track that is.
Saw so many of our fine fine partners who I haven't seen in so long.
Yeah. I got a chance to play with all the Coors guys.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Great.
That's a perfect pairing. That is the quintessential perfect pairing. You put me in a group of Coors guys.
It's like a magnet, right?
I felt at home.
Yeah, you
felt
should.
At home. Felt at home.
So again, those City Connect jerseys from the White Sox will qualify someone each hour. We'll look for caller 36 later this hour. Be listening and go to WhiteSox.com to get your tickets for the remaining homestand. Big series coming up against Toronto. Boys, I didn't know this. Black and Abdallah, you'll laugh. I know you guys are big golfers. Something that I noticed yesterday and I said to Waddle, this is amazing. When did this start happening on golf courses? And my thing was music. Everyone had the portable speaker.
I had the two carts that I was with. So there was three of us. Each cart had dueling music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was great. And there were some great, like I told you, then I hung out at the Coors hole, 12.
Yeah.
Like after I was done caddying, I went to 10, 11, and then I just hung out on 12, where one of our new teammates, like Abdallah was just saying, it was her first day yesterday. She was in charge for the marketing team there. She won a car on The Price is Right a couple of years ago in the golf game.
Yeah, and putting.
Putting.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah. So she was showing everyone the video. So that got to be known as not only the Coors hole, but the Price is Right hole. So we were hanging out there, and then all the carts were pulling up, and I'm like, oh, that's a good song. Wait a minute. They all got like these little contraptions, the wireless speakers or whatever on their bags. And I'm like, when did this start on the golf course? It used to be
years ago.
You used to have to be quiet on the golf course.
Yeah, this is how out of touch you are.
Like, yeah, well, I know that. Admittedly.
I was with Teddy Greenstein and his buddy, Matt, and great guys. Me and Yurko was my cart mate, which was.
How was that?
Oh, it was an adventure.
You lit a cigar or not, you got plenty of cigar smoke, didn't you?
See, I'm a cigar smoker.
Oh, you are.
So
okay,
I brought my own sticks as well, but then Danny Zetterman's dad gave me one too, so I had that one as well. And Yurko and I went through a couple sticks yesterday.
So wait, what do you call your golf clubs?
My sticks.
Yeah. All right, so what do you call your cigars?
Well, he calls them sticks, so I was just using the Yurko.
Your sticks
Noman
and sticks.
Clature. Yeah, they're my cigars. But so Teddy was playing music off of his phone. For some reason, I don't know if you would qualify us as this, but when Chris and I play with the other two guys that we normally play with, we don't have any music.
I don't normally play with it either, but it doesn't bother me in the slightest.
No, I don't care if we were playing with someone and they wanted to.
You could be banging cymbals behind my head before a shot. I wouldn't care.
Yeah, we don't play music, but it is a very common thing.
Yeah, it is.
Like, this is not new.
No, I knew. It's new to me because that's how long it's been since I've been on a golf course. And I said to Waddle, I go, this is another reason why I may come back. Now we're drinking. Now we're listening to music while playing. And he's like, well, music would be enough to bring you back. I'm like, how much of a different atmosphere is a bar if they're not playing music? And the answer is a great deal different.
That's true. Well, I'm not going to the bar to play golf, though. So, I mean, like, there's part of the sales pitch for being on the golf course playing isn't so much the music and the drinking. That's just adding to it.
Absolutely.
The golf itself, the challenge, you versus the course. Maybe you've got some wagers out there. That's the ultimate draw. That's what's going to bring you there. Or you may come for the drinking and the music.
It's enhancing my meal.
It should, yes.
And you never know what you're going to find on the golf course, Sylvie. Yurko and I were driving around, and I believe on the fifth hole.
Oh, this is great.
We're driving on the fairway, and we're going to our next shot to find our ball. It's over there. We're heading that direction. And I go, Yurko, stop. What is that? And he goes, oh, my God. And it was a glass bowl full of weed.
And it was still full of weed.
It was still full of weed. Someone, contrary to popular belief, it was not mine. It was not Danny Zetterman's.
It was not Yurko's.
It was not Yurko's. But someone,
it was not Caps.
It was not Caps, but
JR?
Someone.
Was it JR?
It was not JR.
He left early.
JR.
Maybe he was puttering around on the golf course.
I mean, we Yurko made the announcement during dinner. If anybody lost a fine glass.
It looked like a fairly expensive marijuana smoking
probably
unit.
It would have run you about $75 to $100. Yeah. Not that I've been in the market for those before, but yeah.
And a lighter.
So if you, I don't know what he did with it, but if you lost a bowl yesterday.
And did any of our listeners lose a bowl?
Someone claimed it.
Oh, good.
Or somebody stole it.
No one did it publicly. When Yurko did this, it was before he auctioned off his item. He presented in front of everyone what he found on the golf course.
I don't know. Like, listen, again, I'm not passing judgment, but I don't smoke the marijuana these days. Is it highly unlikely that you would lose your smoking device? Or is it that's a common thing? Like, have you ever lost your bong or your bowl or your whatever it is, Adam, when you're on the golf course?
I don't bring my bong to the golf course, Waddle. That'd be kind of weird.
Not a bong.
Whatever it is.
You guys have all seen it on the course. Someone smoking a cigar, they put it down to hit, and then they forget that it's
correct.
There.
Correct.
Yeah. Right? So wouldn't it be the same logic?
No, because the cigar, to me, would be the weed. The bowl
the
itself.
Device,
that's what I'm saying. How do you forget
cigar,
you lose your
the
device?
The cigar is put down on a little holder that's above the grass.
That's true.
Right? Like
seems really weird.
I could see you take a hit and then you're like, all right, here we go.
I'm high. I'm going to forget and leave this over here.
You slam one and then you're like, all right, team. And you get back in the cart and you go and then boom, in the middle of the fairway, you leave your pipe.
How common are personalized balls?
Pretty common.
They are?
Yeah.
I keep mine to myself.
Because a listener told me the story that they found a cap ball, a K-A-P ball in the woods.
Well,
she took it and grabbed it and later saw Cap and said, hey, Cap,
here's your ball.
Look what I found in the woods. And of course, he starts yelling, no shot. I never hit one in the woods today. And it says K-A-P on the ball. And she went to hand it back to him, and like she thought for sure he was going to say, you know what, as a souvenir, keep my ball, have my ball, and maybe sign it. And he took the ball right back. And,
well, it's his.
Well, I know, but he could have signed it and said, you know.
Sort of like Merkin taking golf balls from the driving range. Boy, they spent a good 30 minutes. It's one of the best new segments on the entire station. Who's the douche that the fellas play? Carmen the Good Kid. And
we've been playing it off the air for 20 years.
For 25 years,
But now it's finally on the air.
Now it's on the air, and I guess the question today was what Randy does, and he told me about this yesterday after the round inside the clubhouse at Seven Bridges, that Randy will go at his local course and hit some balls on the driving range and take a few. Take a few of the range balls
you
and put them in his
bag.
Just pay
for a bucket of balls, so he takes the leftovers.
You're not really supposed to steal them. But he takes them with him to a course. He says he's borrowing them, and then you witnessed it.
I saw
when he tees off on a hole that's got water because he doesn't want to lose his own golf ball.
And
he uses
the water
range
was
ball.
Right in front of him too. It was like something that I didn't clear it because I took two practice shots two times, but I don't golf. He does. He puts all this effort into going to golf sometimes alone, and he can't clear a damn little ravine in front of the tee off area.
That to me is the quintessential defeatist attitude, where you've premeditated, you've taken golf balls from your local range and put them in your bag for the specific purpose of using them on difficult holes because you're afraid that you're going to lose your own golf ball.
Right. I think you should use your best golf ball and say, I am going to clear the water.
So if you had to answer the question, who's the douche? Is it us for being critical of Merck, or is it Merck for the act of actually stealing range balls?
Yes,
or in his case,
it's a double dip.
Borrowing them.
No, it's
who's
Merck.
The douche?
It's Merck because those range balls are basically rocks.
They are.
I mean, you get the technology of like.
They're not
a,
meant to be taken, though.
Yeah,
I know they probably want
that.
Mine.
They're not meant
but
to be borrowed. And if you hit one and it's at the bottom of the creek, it isn't been borrowed. It's been stolen.
Well, and also, if you're trying to clear water, you want good technology in your golf ball.
Yeah,
right. Not a range ball.
What
that's
you
basically
want,
just plastic.
Yeah, what you want is you wants to inspire you to actually put the best swing on the golf ball so that you save the golf ball.
I'm confused. Has he actually taken them back?
That was his defense, he showed up to the range and poured balls back out.
I don't believe it because then he steals it from another range.
Of course.
So, like, it's an ongoing thing.
That's his excuse. His excuse is that he actually is just borrowing them. He'll bring them back because there's no time limit. When you rent a large bucket of balls, it doesn't come with a time limit. Well, that was his excuse.
And in my experience playing, usually I don't own said balls for very long. Like, I'm never taking balls with me for a extended period of time because they're ending up somewhere in a course somewhere, right? So, like, the idea to say you're borrowing to then bring back, like, what?
But he only cracks them out of his bag when he's hitting over a water hole worried about losing his own ball.
Like, it's a library book? Like, at what point does he return said ball?
When I heard this story yesterday.
He puts the whammy in his head.
Yes, when I heard the story yesterday, I think it was Yurko was enhancing it at the golf event afterwards. At the dinner, I was like, it's the first time I'd heard this story. It was kind of a weird experience to hear the story.
All right, we'll qualify our first caller for the White Sox Connect jerseys. Go to WhiteSox.com for tickets available in the Toronto series. In 5 minutes, we'll do that in 5 minutes. And we'll also tell you the latest on Jeff Passan on whether or not the Cubs are buying or selling. He was on with us on Friday saying the ship has sailed on selling. Since that time, the Cubs have lost 4 out of 5. Have things changed in that short amount of time? You'll hear it next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
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 Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, let's do this. Let's go second qualifier here. If you're just tuning in, we're going to do a qualifier every hour for these beautiful White Sox Southside Connect jerseys. The City Connect jerseys, I should say. They have sold out quickly. They are a hard get right now, even if you want to spend the money on them. We're giving one away free. This is red hot.
By the way, it says Southside on the front. Adam, is there any number or name on the back, or is it just kind of...
It is just blank.
Okay.
You will just be representing the Southside.
There you go.
And no
You could actually
player.
Take it to a somewhere and have your name put
you
on
could.
It.
Of course you could.
You could personalize it for yourself, for your kid. You can. You want to choose TA, choose TA.
There you go.
You want Mercedes, choose Mercedes. You want a Bray, you go... Look, if you want a Madrigal one... Go Madrigal.
That's on you, though. I mean, like, once you get the jersey, you want that done to it, that's on you at
if
your
it,
cost.
Oh, well, yeah, but that if it just, was me, you know. I mean, you want it on Waddle and Sylvie. I would find a way to put Waddle and Sylvie 69 on the back. Nice.
It's terrible.
Or Waddle and Sylvie.
Those are the worst.
2-6.
That's the worst, the 1,000. The Waddle and Sylvie 1,000 jerseys.
I don't think I'd be comfortable with the Waddle and Sylvie 69 jersey. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like it would fit.
No, totally.
I don't know why. I'm just thinking.
I mean, that's where you guys. I just thought it'd be a cool number.
No, just Kyle Long's number. Why not just like?
Is he 69 this year in Kansas City?
Of course he is.
Yeah, but he wasn't with the band.
I know, but he didn't have the opportunity to be. Now he is. Of course he. That was part of his signing bonus.
Social media people were all about it when he posted.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It probably was part of his contract that he has to get the number 69. Right? No.
Okay, I don't know if it's part of the contract. We have Sox in Toronto tonight. Tickets available. Go to WhiteSox.com. Thanks to the Sox for providing it. Caller 36. We'll do caller 36 once an hour. Just whenever I prompt you. 312-332-3776. If you don't qualify right now, you'll have a chance to qualify in the 4 o'clock hour, then again in the 5 o'clock
hour. Do you have your money on the White Sox today?
I haven't laid out my money yet. While I was bashing my head open.
I haven't laid out my money yet.
You know, over the weekend, I get time, and it's one of the first things I do. I like to look at the boosts.
I just got, yeah.
And I like to see what's going on. I got my 50% odds boost now refreshed on the...
So you haven't decided?
I haven't decided. Okay. I mean, Rodon is going tonight. Toronto can hit, though. They're a great offensive team.
I have my profit boost invested in the over 7.5 runs of the Indians and Cardinals game.
Why? Like, the Indians usually don't score a lot.
And by the way, Bieber is pitching. It's just a gut It's a gut feel.
Did you get a tip somewhere?
It's a gut feel.
What are you doing?
The Cardinals, by the way, they've lost. Didn't they lose four in a row at home to the Reds? So I'm thinking maybe something will wake them up. Bieber's been a little bit more hittable.
He'll wake up that.
The Cardinals didn't, I don't think, struggled to score runs against the Reds. It was them not being able to keep the Reds.
Right, but Cleveland can pitch, and Cleveland doesn't score,
well, then don't invest your money in the over
I'm not rolling. Look, this is the time when they're going to score 18 runs tonight.
I played the total runs was in the Giants game, and I used the profit boost. I made a little cash. I also have the Cubs. I have the White Sox in a five-team parlay.
Well, wow, going five-team parlay.
Just
what do you got?
Just a little. I've got the Mets on the money line. I've got the Phillies on the money line. I have the Dodgers on the money line. I have over 8.5 runs in the Reds-Brewers game, and I've got the White Sox on the money line. Just a little, a little something to keep it interesting.
Yeah, all right, a little baseball parlay.
A little baseball parlay.
Look at you, Pete. Unbelievable.
Why is that? It's legal and everyone's doing it. Why do you got to call me Pete?
Because he would do baseball parlays probably. It's great. I was talking to Teddy Greenstein yesterday at the golf event, and it's changed the way I view sports on a nightly basis. And I'm no expert at this, but it's made it more fun for me watching sports.
I have a $5 bet on something that includes the Dodgers. Otherwise, I wouldn't give a rat's ass about the Dodgers game tonight.
It keeps me
involved.
Absolutely. Chris, can we play the Albert Breer from Cap and Jay Hood this morning? He had a good reaction. Every Tuesday he joins the guys. He's on SI, very well-connected Monday morning quarterback, and these were his thoughts on the reports, again, that surfaced, and Dalton kind of alluded to it last week, and we'll hear from some Bears players and coaches tomorrow, on the thoughts on this big Andy Dalton promise to start.
Yeah, I mean, I just tell you what I know, Hoodie. I think it's, for right now, Andy Dalton's working with the ones, Justin Fields working with the twos. Justin Fields, the plan for right now is for him to be working with the twos exclusively and Andy Dalton to be working with the ones when we get to training camp. Now, that said, I can say that Justin Fields has fit in really well. And, the feeling I've gotten from people in that building is he's really, I guess he's got a natural way about him where he's been able to fit into being a rookie. Like, he's not walking in there like, I'm the quarterback of the future. He has been humble. He's doing his work. He's got the leader by example trait. Now, nobody's going to follow a guy who's been in the building for 4 weeks at this point. But, you can see the leader by example traits in him already. And that said, he's not trying to force anything. And he's not trying to take over the locker room or anything like that. And I think the way that, I know the coaches feel about that, it just displays a good self-awareness. Like, he knows where he's at. He knows what he has to do right now. So that's a good sign for where he is. And, I think the other piece of this, like, even though, like I said, the Bears' plan is to have Dalton take all the reps with the ones and have Fields work with the twos when we get to training camp, I also know part of the plan is to get Justin Fields a lot of snaps in the preseason, in preseason games. And so if you want to talk about whether he'll start week one, maybe that's unlikely. But, if you want to talk about him, giving the coaches a comfort level and starting to win over the locker room, which, those obviously are two things that need to happen for him to eventually become the starter, whether it's week four, week eight, or in 2022. I think he's done the things he needs to do to this point, and he's going to have a lot of opportunity to do those things in preseason games when we get to August.
And if he flashes in those games, that's where I think then things start getting interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the whole guarantee issue is one that is surprising to me. I wouldn't expect there to be any guarantees.
But what if there is? I know we talked about it Friday.
I think it's foolish,
right?
I think it's foolish. So many things can happen. Haven't you learned? If you're attached to a football game, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the Bears of the front office. Enough stuff happens that you know that these guarantees are meaningless because a ton of stuff happens. Injuries happen. Maybe you give you the disclaimer, well, you're going to be our starter unless there's an injury. Well, what if you suck and the guy coming in as a rookie shows you that he's the best thing that you've ever seen since Joe Montana? Like, there are so many things that can happen.
Like, what if Andy Dalton was deciding between here in Denver or somewhere else, and they're like, look, not only will we beat their salary at $10 million, we're going to guarantee that you start at least the opener, and it's up to you to keep that job.
I
no
think
matter.
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's crazy because you're making that guarantee prior to the draft. What if something happened and Justin Fields falls to you at 11 and you move up a draft team? Like, you, I don't know, especially in this sport, why you would ever tie yourself to a guarantee. And I don't know that that guarantee has been made.
That's why
it just doesn't make any sense.
I want the media tomorrow. I guess I could sign into the Zoom. Maybe I'll do it. Can I get a code on this? Will they allow me in?
Yeah.
I will raise my virtual hand. And
I'm Ron Burgundy. I'd like to ask a question.
When does Nagy speak? At 1 tomorrow? Is that 1? I want to ask him directly. Matt, did the organization promise Andy Dalton to be the starter on opening day? That's all I want to know. Just like I want to ask Jed Hoyer, if we get Jed Hoyer on. Been requesting Jed Hoyer for a long time. Jed, are you trying to win the World Series this year?
I think they're both good questions.
Correct.
I think also there is some gray area here with regard to what the Bears could have said to Andy Dalton that wouldn't necessarily lead to a quote-unquote guarantee. They could have laid out a plan to Andy, said, look, here's the deal. You see our quarterback situation. We're going to have to find a quarterback in the draft. Right now, we believe in you. We're going to give you this contract. It is our intention to go to camp with you as our one. But you know we're going to draft a quarterback. Anything can happen. That way you look at Andy Dalton, and Andy Dalton's been in this league for better than a decade, and Andy Dalton looks at the situation and feels confident that whatever happens, he's going to have a chance to compete and probably going to be the starter on week one. Oh, by the way, he's going to cash a $10 million check as well. Like, I find it really difficult to believe that part of the sales pitch was a firm guarantee that he was going to be the starter in week one. And if it was that way, I think that's a poor way to do your business because so many things can happen.
I would like to do this tomorrow. I'm going to do that tomorrow if I can here when he speaks around 1. If it's before the show, I'm going to be here. I'm going to raise my virtual hand, and I'm going to ask directly.
Will they see it, or you want to put like a big club
really
on top of it?
It's small. When I raise my virtual hand, it comes up. You could barely see it on the computer
screen.
By the
way, the other thing I was going to say before I forget, what you heard Albert Breer discuss about Justin Fields is one of the reasons why you drafted him and everyone feels good about him. That he is one of these guys that comes in and his aura is a positive one. It's you feel comfortable, you feel calm, there's leadership ability there, and it's good to hear, but it's not unexpected from
my
perspective.
Right, right. And it's really, and now
he's got to prove that he can play.
He's got it, right. Like with Mitch, we said he was a good kid, he cared and everything, but he had to play.
Not surprised, though, to hear the positive things that Albert's also an Ohio State grad, but, you know, I'm not going to say that's the
true
reason why.
Oh, really?
No, I'm just telling you, Albert presented to us was part of the selling point package coming from the draft about Justin Fields.
Congrats to Chris Ahern. He's halfway there. He has qualified for the City Connect White Sox jersey. We have 2 more qualifiers, and of the 4 qualifiers, we will pick 1 name at the end of the show, and that person will win the City Connect. So we'll qualify someone else in the 4 o'clock hour. If you want to weigh in, 312-332-3776. Waddle's World is coming up. And at 4 o'clock, a lot of fun with the good, the bad, the dirty.